Podcast 80, Loving Your Enemies. The Gospel reading for this podcast is Luke chapter 6, verses 27 to 38. Sometimes Jesus gives us particularly challenging things. Reminds me of the story of a man, let's call him Kevin, who got too close to the cliff edge on a walk and fell over the cliff. Fortunately, he managed to grab the root of a tree growing on the side of the cliff. So he was clinging to the tree root, but he couldn't climb up and he couldn't climb down. He began yelling for help. Help, help, is anyone there who can help me? But no one answered his cries. Finally, in despair, he said, God, please help me. And he heard a voice. Yes, Kevin, I can help you. Kevin was astounded and he replied, Is that you, God? Oh, thank you so much for answering. When I get down from here, I'll do anything you ask. Easy on the promises, Kevin, God said. But if you're going to get out of this, you'll have to do exactly what I say. Yes, yes, replied Kevin. I'll do anything you ask me to. Very well, said God. Now I want you to let go of the tree root. What? Said Kevin. What did you say? God said, let go of the tree root. Trust me, this is going to work. There was a long pause. Then Kevin started yelling again. Help, help! Is there anyone else up there who can help me? Today our sermon topic is about loving your enemies. Perhaps more than anything else, this is one of the characteristics of Christians. That is the most striking witness to the rest of the world. There are other elements of the Christian faith that are echoed in other religions. For example, Islam believes in the afterlife. Buddhism and Sikhism encourage performing good deeds in order to earn merit. Loving your enemies is the standout principle that is just a bridge too far for most other faiths. Easy to talk about. Hard to do. Luke places this particular discourse from Jesus as part of the Sermon on the Mount, just after the Beatitudes. In this passage, Jesus doesn't just give us a general principle, love your enemies, and leave us to figure out what it would mean in practice. He includes a number of very practical examples. In verse 28, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. Verse 29, if someone slaps you on one cheek, turn the other also. Also in verse 29, if someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt. Verse 30, give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Verse 31, do to others as you would have them do to you. So you notice that what we call the golden rule, which is also has a parallel in other religions, do to others as you would have them do to you, is embedded in this very difficult piece about loving your enemies. Remember the story of Les Miserables. After 19 years as a prisoner on the chain gang, Jean Valjean is released on parole with his yellow ticket of leave, which he must always carry with him, always branding him as a thief. The bishop of Digne invites him in and treats him with compassion. In desperation, Jean Valjean steals some silver from the bishop's house, but he's caught by the police and taken back to the bishop. Instead of accusing him of theft, the bishop says that it was his gift to Jean Valjean. And the bishop then, in addition, gives him two silver candlesticks. But Jean Valjean realizes he has been given a chance to regain his soul, and he decides to start a new life for the better. This scene from Les Miserables is very powerful, and it's a perfect enactment of verse 29 of this passage. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt. The bishop not only forgives and blesses Jean Valjean by backing up his fictitious story about how the silver came to be in his possession, he also gives him two silver candlesticks in addition to the silver he had already stolen. Such a powerful moment in this amazing musical. And our daughter Rachel was once in a production of Les Miserables here in Hamilton. I think she was 9. And it's one of those proud dad moments for me. While we may struggle to do what the bishop did, and we must remember it's only by God's grace that we're enabled to do this. Some years ago, our house was burgled. Deb arrived back home just as the burglars were starting to load up their car parked on our front lawn with what they decided to take from the house. If I had been there, I don't think my response would have been to rush out with an armful of things they had missed, saying, "Here, guys, take this as well." But that seems to be what this scripture is asking us to do. So as we ponder and struggle with these scriptures, we must also continue to remember in prayer our Christian brothers and sisters around the world who live out the truths of these scriptures in costly sacrifice as part of following Jesus. The Barnabas Fund provides examples from across the world of what loving your enemy might mean. A recent example in Bihar State in India is Nitish Kumar, a Christian teenager who died after an acid attack that caused burns on 70% of his body. His family believed that the attack was carried out by radical Hindu nationalists who did it in reprisal for their son's refusal to stop holding Christian prayer meetings in his home. Police claim that Nitish burned himself to death in response to a violent family argument, but this is vigorously disputed by the family. And the family have also received threatening messages since his death. How would you feel if you were this young man's parents? Would you be able to pray for the attackers who had caused your son to die a horrible, painful death? Would you be able to pray for the police, who are clearly not interested in any meaningful investigation or bringing the perpetrators of this horrible crime to justice? Only by the grace of God can such things be done. It is not possible for us as human beings. So today I have more questions than answers about these verses on loving your enemies. I recognize the principle Jesus is espousing, but I'm just not sure I can figure out what that means for me in my life.